Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the helmet of salvation, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." And our key verse tonight is in verse number 20. "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Shall we pray tonight? Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful that you brought us here safely tonight. Lord, as we come tonight with our families, as we come tonight as brother and sisters in Christ, Lord, we've come to your church to be strengthened, to be encouraged. Lord, I believe our hearts have been encouraged tonight through song and worship, but Lord, we've also come to be strengthened from your word of God. So Lord, tonight I pray that you would navigate your word to the hearts of your people. I pray it would be a blessing. I pray the challenge would be challenging to the hearts of your people, Father. We ask this tonight. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, we find the Apostle Paul writing a letter to the saints of Ephesus. We find him writing to Christians. I'd like to categorize Ephesians chapter 6 as instructions from an ambassador. Instructions from an ambassador. If we were to go through the Bible, and we were to look for people who, men who were used by God to be ambassadors for him. Men of God who went and evangelized and did great works for God and were known as someone who spread the good news, the gospel. Probably one of the first names that would come to mind would be the Apostle Paul. Am I right? The Apostle Paul being stricken with pain, being beaten and being abused, being thrown into prison multiple times for getting the gospel out. Wow, what a testimony. Imagine coming to the end of your life and being known as an ambassador for the Lord. Can I remind us this evening that if we are children of God, we are ambassadors for Him. We might be a poor ambassador for the Lord, or we might be a strong ambassador for the Lord. But we are ambassadors for Christ. In 2 Corinthians, the Bible says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray for you in Christ's stead. Be reconciled to God." We are ambassadors for the Lord. Of course, an ambassador is to act as a representative, a witness, a preacher. Tonight, if we are Christians, we are ambassadors. And the question I would like to present us with this evening is, what kind of ambassador are we for the Lord? What kind of ambassador are we for the Lord? If we were honest with ourselves tonight, our heart's desire would be to be a strong ambassador for Him. To be an ambassador that's being used by our Heavenly Father, our Creator. Am I right? Why? Because if we're children of God, we want to be used. We want to bear fruit as Christians. But the question is tonight, are we allowing God to use us? And are we going in His strength? I believe Paul gives us three instructions here in Ephesians chapter 6 that I'd like to briefly challenge us with tonight. Three instructions from an ambassador, the Apostle Paul. First of all, number one, we see here in Ephesians chapter 6, one that's strong. One that's strong. Look at it with me in verse 10, as we just read a second ago. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Notice here with me, it does not say be strong in your pastor. It does not say be strong in your parents. It does not say be strong in your grandparents. It does not say be strong in your children, your church, your finances, your career. No. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." There's a lot of power there for us to claim, am I right? A lot of strength for us to tap into. And the question is tonight, where are we placing our strength? Who are we placing our strength in? I can be very honest with you tonight. I have a lot of friends that I went to high school with, that I went to college with, that are not in church because they simply place their strength in man. A pastor, a youth pastor, disappointed them. A pastor or leader let them down. And they, sadly, they base their Christianity, they base their walk with God on man. And it was not in the Lord. And time tested that. And what happened? Their relationship with the Lord suffered because their strength was placed into man. Your pastor is going to disappoint you. Why? Because he's man. He's human. Man is always going to disappoint you, but God will never disappoint you. Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Paul is saying, place your strength in man. Don't place it in the world. Don't place it in your talents. Don't place it in anyone else but God. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and put on the power of His might." Are we tapping into that strength tonight? That power is there for our access. It's the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that's there for our access. We see here one that is strong. Secondly, I'd like to notice, we see here one that is secure. One that is secure. Ephesians chapter 6 is known for the armor of God, right? Very well-known passage. I don't think we can find here better instructions on how we can be secure in an evil day. And that's what it says here in Ephesians chapter 6. Look at it with me in verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." How many would you agree with me tonight that we are living in an evil day? It doesn't take much time for us to realize, we turn the news on, what an evil day we live in. We are at war tonight as Christians. We are at war with Satan. We are at war with the world. We are at war with the flesh. We are at war. And what's Paul saying here? Stand fast. When you are going at war with your enemy, stand fast. You say, "Brother Justin, how do we stand fast?" He tells us here. There's two ways we stand fast. First of all, it's through the Word of God. Look at it with me in verse 17. It says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." You know, sadly, a lot of times Christians take the sword of the Spirit, they take the Bible, and they beat up the wrong people with it. They beat up the wrong person with it. They beat up people with it in a judging form. That's not the way we're supposed to use the Word of God. We're supposed to use it to fight Satan, to fight the flesh. What did the Lord do when he was fighting temptation? He quoted Scripture, right? When Satan came to him in the wilderness and was saying, when he was tempting the Lord, and what did the Lord say? He started quoting God's Word. And what did Satan do? He fled. He fled. May I ask us this evening, what is our intake, our weekly intake of the Word of God? I grew up in a pastor's home. And occasionally, it's funny, Pastor, it's funny, occasionally you would hear from a disgruntled church member. And they would say something like this, Pastor, I had to leave the church because I'm not getting fed. I'm just not getting fed. And what happened was, what was happening? They were exposing themselves. Why? Because they were basing their intake of the Scriptures on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, if they went to all three services. Can I say, if we do that, we will starve to death? We will starve. We can't base our intake on the preaching. That is supposed to be the end that is to edify us and encourage us and challenge us. But we will starve to death if we are in the Word every day, even if it's a short time. The Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing. How much time do we spend in God's Word? We will hunger if we base it on what we hear from the preaching. Paul says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How else do we fight Satan? How else do we stand secure in an evil day? Look at it with me in verse 18. Paul is very specific and very simple. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Are we in the Spirit tonight? Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul is saying praying always. That doesn't mean praying 24 hours a day. No, that means in a constant state of prayer. Coming to God before we leave our house, before we go to bed, in the middle of our day, saying, Lord, guide my thoughts, guide my mind, guide my steps. Help me to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul is saying, praying always. How do we find security in 2021? It's when we are praying often. I truly believe one of the most overlooked elements in our churches today is the power of prayer. The power of prayer. If I were to go across the room this evening with a microphone and ask us this pointed question, I wonder what some of the responses would be. The question, when was the last time that God answered a specific prayer request of ours? When was the last time that God answered a specific prayer request of ours? If we're not careful, so often we get caught up with the normal thought of prayer. We get numb to the thought of prayer. We pray general prayers like, God, bless the church. God, bless the food. God, help the missionaries. Right? Now remind us that God wants to hear our specific prayer request. He wants to hear from his children. Looking across the room this evening, could very well say there might be some parents here tonight. Maybe some grandparents. You would probably be quick to agree if one of your children came to you, one of your grandchildren came to you and they were in tears. Maybe they were in pain. It could probably quickly have your attention, am I right? Why? Because they're close to your heart. They care for you. You're their parents. You're their grandparents. May I remind us we have a heavenly Father that wants to hear his children's prayers. He wants to hear our prayers. We might say, well, God already knows my thoughts. He already knows my desires. Hey, God wants to hear your prayers. That's how we express our faith to him. When we're going through the valley, when we're going through the struggle, and we come to him in prayer. One of my favorite passages in all the Bibles in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says this: be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here's the promise: and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. To me, that defines security. By praying always. What is our prayer diet like tonight? How do we find security in 2021 with all the distractions, with all the temptations, with all the worldliness? We find it through the Word of God. We find it through our relationship with him. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. What is supplication? Supplication is when we simply lift our voices to God and we say, God, I can't go another day without you. I can't live another hour without you. And we get on our hands and knees and we call out to God in a desperate need of prayer. That is what supplication is. We find here in Ephesians 6, one that's strong, one that's secure. Lastly, I'd like to notice one that is soul conscious. One that is soul conscious. Look at it with me in verse 19. Earlier in Ephesians 6, he says, take on or have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But look at it with me in verse 19. It says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul doesn't say to win many souls. Paul doesn't say to see people come and discipled and grown. No, he just says to be bold, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. He's bound here as he's writing, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. One that's soul conscious. When I was a junior in college, there was a guest preacher that came in and preached a chapel service. And he preached a message talking about allowing opportunities that God brings your way to help people, allowing those opportunities to be an avenue to the gospel. He talked about maybe helping a person who's stranded on the side of the road and maybe helping them with a flat tire, or maybe helping a homeless person who comes looking for help, or helping someone who's in a time of need and allowing that as an avenue to the gospel. Strange how the Lord works. Just a few days later, I was pumping gas at a gas station, and I was paying for it. I came in to pay for it, and I was in line, and a gentleman comes in, and he comes to this lady who's standing in front of me, and he says, excuse me, ma'am, I was wondering if by chance you'd be able to take me to my home. I locked my keys in my truck, and my only spare is down at my house. I just live down the street. And I thought, wow, what kind of man would ask a woman, a strange woman, to take them or take him to their house? I thought that was very, very strange. And so I tried to be a gentleman. I said, well, sir, I don't mind. My truck's out here. I could take you to your house real quick. And now that I look back at it, that was very courageous in 21st century, right? And so he got to my truck, and we head to his house. And as we're heading there, I thought, here we go, Justin. Here is a perfect opportunity for you to share the gospel. And as soon as I was, maybe if I was saying that to myself, or maybe it was the Holy Spirit, I all of a sudden felt the other side, the flesh coming in. Justin, you don't want to share the gospel with this man. You don't want to create awkwardness. You don't want to embarrass him or humiliate him. We were driving to his home. He didn't live far. He got out of his vehicle, went into the house, and came out with his keys. So we were heading back to the gas station. I said, sir, As I go down to this Christian college down the street, and if I don't ask you this question, I don't know who would. But if you were to die today, are you sure that you would have a home in heaven? He had a quick response, and it was sometimes a response you want to hear. He said, no. Sometimes you want to hear that, so you have an opportunity to give them the gospel. And he said, no. I said, well, sir, I could very quickly show you how you can know from the Bible. Very, very quickly. Then he gave me that response we don't want to hear. He said, no. He said, no. He said, I'm in a hurry, and no, thank you. And I remember thinking, wow. You know, I just took time out of my schedule and day to help you out. I was kind of upset. Then I started questioning myself. Did you say something wrong? Was it your approach? What did you do wrong? And it's like as soon as I was thinking those thoughts, the Holy Spirit gave me a peace. It was like I could feel the Holy Spirit telling me, Justin, you did your job. You did your job. He didn't reject you. He rejected me. You know, if we're not careful as Christians, we'll come to the point where we make decisions for people for them. They don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to be bothered. But no. We must be so conscious and bold as Christians. What did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, some are out there laboring in the harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Some are out there laboring, but yet some are coming in to harvest. Some people are sowing the seed, and some people are reaping the fruit. They're reaping. You see, we might be the person who's passing out a gospel tract, sowing a seed. That person that I witnessed to that day didn't receive Christ, but maybe later down the road, from that seed that was planted, he came to know Christ. He took that gospel tract, and later on, he would come to know Christ through a seed that was planted. We don't know who it is we are giving the gospel to. What did Jesus say? He said, I will build my church. I will build my church. We as Christians just must be consumed with getting the gospel out and being bold. Paul says that I may be bold, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Looking across the room this evening, if I could ask this question, are there any military, former military in the room tonight, any men or women who served our country's armed forces? Awesome. We have one man over here. I met you before the service. Give me your name again. It's Brother Thompson, right? Yes. Brother Thompson. If I were to ask you, Brother Thompson, if one of your drill instructors came to you, one of your leaders, a sergeant or a captain, whatever form of service you served in, whatever branch, if they came to you and asked you a question, they said, Mr. Thompson, I need you to do this right now. You probably wouldn't have a response with, why? Am I right? What about how? How do I do that? You probably wouldn't have that response, would you, sir? No, it would be, yes, sir. Why? Because that's his chain of command. That's his commander. That is his instructor, his leader. Now, remind us tonight that we have a direct commandment from our chief command, the Lord Jesus Christ, to go ye therefore, teach all nations, going and spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul says, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. May I remind us tonight, we have the good news of Jesus Christ. We have the answer to our community's problems. We have the answer. What are we doing with it? I'll end with this. I was going on a flight. I was meeting a group like this one summer, a ministry team for the college. And on my flight, I had a layover in Salt Lake City, Utah. You know what was strange? I thought there was over 30 BYU students on that plane. I asked one of them, I said, what are you guys all doing here? And they said, we're flying to a foreign mission field to give 2 years of our life to serve our mission. And I thought, wow, here are some young Mormons who are willing to give up 2 years of their life to serve on a mission field. Wow. We go out soul winning as a youth group there. I'm on the youth staff at the church, and we go out soul winning on a bus. And if it's not every Saturday, it's probably every other Saturday, we see the Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on the doors in their suits and ties, faithfully. The Muslims won't even hold their Quran below their waist. What did Paul say here? Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, if we don't get the gospel out, if we don't get the good news out, there's going to be people out there who will give a false gospel, a false hope. Tonight we have the truth. Tonight we have the real answer. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? You know, life is short. Eternity is long. When we meet the Lord Jesus Christ, what will we be able to lay at his feet? Here was Paul who said, you can find strength in the Lord. You can find security in the Word of God. You can find security in a relationship with God. And you can find boldness in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. How do we become a great ambassador for him? We place our strength in God. We have a close relationship with him. We are filled with the Spirit. And we are allowing our thoughts and minds navigated through the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. We find boldness. What kind of ambassador are we for the Lord? You say, Justin, I'm not very bold. I'm not very outspoken. I'm just kind of quiet by nature. I'm not an extrovert. I'm an introvert. Can I say God can still use you and wants to use you? Deep down in, if you're honest with yourself, you still want to be used. The key is to tap into the strength that God has for us to go in his Spirit. Jesus said this, he said, with men, all these are impossible. Being a bold witness is impossible without Christ's presence in us. We find empowerment through the Holy Spirit. We find here in Ephesians 6, one that's strong. Where are we placing our strength tonight? We find one that's secure. Are you secure in the Lord? Are you wavering? We find here one that's so conscious, one that's bold. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful tonight that you choose to use us. Lord, you want to be channeled through us. You want through the Holy Spirit, you want to be evident in our life. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God, you want to use us as witnesses for you, as an ambassador for you. Lord, I pray that we would respond to that call tonight. We are called as Christians. We are a peculiar people, a chosen generation. Lord, I pray tonight that there would be someone here tonight who would say, Lord, I want to be used by you to be a better ambassador for the cause of Christ. Lord, we'll thank you for it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand this evening? As the pianist plays, just a brief song invitation. Maybe you're there in your seat tonight and you know someone who's not saved. Maybe God has laid someone on your heart that you know is lost. Maybe you'd like to pray for them tonight. Maybe you have a family member, maybe a friend, that you know that you could be the avenue to the gospel. Maybe tonight you've been placing your strength in something else or someone else other than the Lord, and you've been disappointed. Maybe you've been discouraged. Can I say the Lord will never disappoint you? Place your strength in him and him alone. Maybe tonight you're not very secure Maybe you're wavering a little bit in your faith. Can I say there's security in the Lord Jesus Christ? Anchor your soul in Him tonight, and you won't be disappointed. However the Spirit's leading, I pray you would follow. There in your seat, if you'd like to come to the altar, however the Lord is leading, I pray that you would follow.